Thought for today. When my relationship with myself is healthy, my relationship with others is stable. When my relationship with myself is healthy, my relationship with others is stable. What does that mean, that when my relationship with myself is healthy? How can I have a relationship with myself? Do I become friends with myself? Do I become friends with me as a person? Do I take me out on a date? Do I walk with me and talk with me and love me? Do I snuggle me and huggle me? Do I do all these great things that relationships would bring? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. The more you huggle and snuggle yourself, the happier you'll be, the more healthy you'll be, the more fantastic you'll be. But it takes practice and it takes dedication. All your life you have said, oh, I'm sick today. Oh, it's a problem. Oh, that, oh. And because of that, you have experienced, oh. Now, is it time to make a change in our life? Instead of saying, oh, when something seems to be troublesome, we say, I have the solution. God in me knows the answer. God in me is going to be the solution. I know the solution. No problem, no problemo. You know, you've heard that? No problemo. So you just go and solve it. You use the first thought that comes to your mind. Do you have the capacity to grab onto the first thought that comes to your mind? Nope. That takes training too. So when you grab the first, quote, thought that comes to your mind, you're grabbing about the 50th or the 100th thought that comes to your mind, really. Because you are already thinking. And I say to you, what color is the sky? And you say, well, blue, but it really is kind of a light blue, and it has very shades of, you know. You don't say what color the sky is. The thing is, anytime I say, you have to think sky first, and then you look up mentally, and you say, sky is usually blue. Oops, but it's dark today, it's gray, it's overcast. You know, well, the sky is always blue. It's always blue, whether it's overcast or not. It's just that the overcast makes you think that the atmosphere is gray, which it is. But the sky is always blue. And you know, when the astronauts look back from outer space at the planet, and what do they see?
Blue.
A blue planet, filled with life, filled with vitality and energy and magnificence. Now, what is the atmosphere surrounding the Earth? What color is it?
Blue.
What color is outer space? Careful. Black. Outer space is absolutely void of color, of light, of anything, because it is pure black. Light comes through the space, but life does not touch the space. Why? What makes our atmosphere blue? All the dirt in the atmosphere, all the dust. The dust is what reflects the blueness of the Earth and reflects the blueness from wherever it's coming from. It's the dust. An atmosphere without dust, like outer space, would not be blue. It'd be black. There's nothing to reflect back light. Now, I'm here. And if I weren't here, you couldn't see me. You know, if I were, say, on the other side of the wall, you couldn't see me because you haven't trained yourself to see unlimitedly right through walls and everything else, which you can do. But you haven't trained yourself because you haven't told yourself that you're a wonderful person. You haven't fallen in love with yourself. You say, oh, I love myself. Garbage. Do you ever eat something that's not good for you? Are you a Mexican? And do you live in a squalid environment where the atmosphere is terrible, where the sanitation is not really as perfect as it could be, and where disease is rampant? No, you don't. In Mexico, they eat very hot foods because it kills all the bacteria and virus that might come their way from the imperfect water that they have to drink because of the foods that are not maintained properly. We love to go down there and eat those improper foods and come home with a bellyache, you know. That's the Montezuma's revenge, as they call it. But it's so silly. It's so silly. We do not acclimate ourselves for that. They acclimate themselves with their hot foods. Now, some of you say, I like hot foods. The hotter, the better. Well, you don't like hot foods. What you like to do is to burn your tongue so that you cannot taste anything. And you can eat anything, and it wouldn't make any difference to you. You wouldn't have any idea what it tasted like. And that's what we do. And when we drink coffee that's too hot, it scalds our taste buds and we can't taste a thing. And when we eat soup that's too hot, it scalds the top of our mouth and then the skin comes off. Have you ever had that happen? Everybody has. And ice cream, your first couple of licks are great, but then a little bit of them is so good, you know, and you get a headache and your stomach and your body can't handle it. You see, these are all the things where we are not nice to our body. We don't do nice things. Our body, if we want to give it food, it should be not as pure as possible, because that sounds like we're asking for things that are not touched by fertilizer and all that other kind of stuff. That's not the point. We want it to be simple. That's a good word for it. Simple, unadorned. You see, when we eat a salad, you're not eating a salad. You have no idea what that salad tastes like. You know what the dressing tastes like. The dressing tastes, ooh, so good, you know, vinegar and oil or cheese, what do you call it, rotten cheese, blue cheese, yeah, and things like that, you know, or Limburger. But you don't taste it. Yeah. Anytime you put any type of sauce on your potatoes, you're not eating the potatoes. There's not much taste in potatoes, but you don't eat the potatoes, you eat the sauce. And when you're eating barbecued beef, barbecued ribs, oh, that's so good. Well, if you ate the ribs without the barbecue, yuck, you know, it'd be kind of plain and nothing. Who wants to eat meat without dressing on it of some sort? But the barbecue sauce, wow, does that make that good. That's my favorite, barbecue ribs. But the thing is, without the sauce, it's not barbecue ribs. It is not delicious. I have had ribs that were not done that way, and they're just blah. When I was at Andromeda up in Minneapolis, I had this church up there for quite a while. You're not knitting. I had this church up there for quite a while, and with this church, I started to read the life and teachings of the Masters of the Far East. And as I read the life and teachings of the Masters of the Far East, all of a sudden, I lost my interest in Chivas Regal. You know what Chivas Regal is? A very delicious scotch. And I lost my taste for wine. Chivas tasted like water, and that's kind of expensive water. And the wine tasted like water. It wasn't bad or good, it just had no allure. And meat tasted like cardboard. I would eat, I had a supply of beautiful little round steaks, those little filet mignon or whatever they were, but beautiful and expensive and lovely. I could afford it. I was getting $100,000 a year salary up there, but I could afford it. It was wonderful. And I ate those. And then all of a sudden, when I was reading the life and teachings of the Masters of the Far East, I lost all interest. You know what else? I smoked my pipe, you know, like a pipe smoker. And, you know, he always has it in his mouth. And I lost all interest in my pipes. I had a great collection, and I had plenty of tobacco on hand, specially mixed by my own blend and so on. Beautiful. I loved it. And I had no desire for it. And I've tried to go back to my pipe since, remembering how nice I felt when I was just sitting there relaxing and smoking my pipe. And it never worked. I cannot do it. I tried to go back and get interested in Chivas again. And I have no interest whatsoever. And I'll drink wine now and then, but it's not that I would ever go buy a bottle for myself. You know, I have no desire. It's nice to have at a dinner party a glass of wine or something like that. It's sociable and what have you. But it's nothing. It's like water to me. But you see, what happened to me was in reading the life and teachings of the Masters of the Far East, I equated with them. I sort of became pure through my relationship with them, and I no longer had the desire to destroy my body. Because that's what we do when we drink these things and smoke these things and stuff. We're destroying our body. This is a temple. And you say, I want purified water. And yet you serve yourself other garbage, you know. I want purified air. And you smoke your cigarettes and pipe and cigars and stuff like that, you know. And it's nonsense. I want to eat the finest food. I do not want to eat any food that has not been, grown without fertilizer and stuff like that. Organic foods. I want organic foods. And I put some French fries under your nose. And you can't resist. I put a hamburger under your nose. I don't eat meat. All that sauce and all that stuff, the ketchup and onions and everything else, it's so good, you know. And you go to the game, you go to the ball game, to the soccer game or football or whatever you go to, and there, and they come around with these hot dogs, long hot dogs, the big old buns, plastered with mustard and sauerkraut and other stuff. And you think to yourself, I don't eat meat, but oh, that looks so good. And you eat it like faster than love eats a hamburger, eats a wiener. Love tries to get it down as fast as possible. It's so good. Now, what is it that's good? The sauerkraut. The bread, perhaps. What is it good? Not the hamburger. There's not enough meat in that hamburger to really do anything for you or against you. But it's all that other stuff. They pack it high, and they say a double, 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 you know. And the doubles are as thin as sheets of paper in there. It's really amazing what they can do and what they get away with. But the thing is, we pay for it, and we love it. But we're not really eating it for the hamburger. We're eating it for all of the condiments that are on it. Well, why don't we just make a condiment sandwich? And it would probably be just as tickling to us if we toasted the bread real nice, you know, and got the condiments in there just perfect. And that's what you did the other night when you served the sloppy Joe, remember? You had a sloppy Joe on a toasty bun, and you called it with this, what's this dressing that you dip? It's with the tomatoes and stuff like that. The salsa. The salsa dip, you know. And so you said, oh boy, that's so good. We went into Anthony's seafood grotto in La Mesa there, and oh, the stuff is so good there. And then what do they do before the meal comes? They're stupid to do this, because you can't eat the meal. But they bring lots of toasted bread, really crisp, nice bread, and salsa sauce. And I was with Jeff's father, Ross, and I saw him put the salsa right on top of his bread and eat it. And I thought, hey, that's interesting. I've never seen that done before. Ooh, was that good. Oh, was that good. Delicious stuff. Now, we want to take care of our bodies. We want to love our bodies. We want to have a pure, harmonious, joyous relationship with our bodies. And if we're going to let ourselves be guided by our noses, which is easy to do, or by our taste buds, or by the hearing of it crackling on the grill, and oh, you just can already taste it without even seeing it. You just hear the crackles on the grill. And aperitifs of the wines and the other things that go with it, you take those things and you think, oh my, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good? But you're guided by your hearing. You're guided by your thinking. You're guided by your sight. You're guided by your taste, by your smell, by everything about you. And when we allow that to happen, we don't like our bodies. We don't like our bodies. Because, you see, it's just like if you have a drink of wine or beer or schnapps or whatever, and you have one, and then you have another, and then you're feeling a little high, and so then you have another, and you feel higher, and you say, oh, this is so nice. I like this, you know. And I have run experiments with friends of mine who loved scotch and things like that. And so I would take out the Regal bottle and have it with the whiskey in there. And so I'd give it to them. And ooh, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And so then the next one, I'd mix half and half, water and Regal, in a shot glass. And they'd say, ooh, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Not really, it's watered down. Then I'd water it down a third more, even. And pretty soon, it was just water. And ooh, boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, you know. It's all in your mind. It's all in your vision. If you think it's there, you know, if you think these things are happening, you don't need those things. Those things are just figments of our imagination. They're creations of our thought. And it is better, rather, that we would create for ourselves wholesome type things that are beneficial to our body, that our body doesn't have to fight, and do things that our body would enjoy and would delight in. But we don't do that. Ingeborg! Pick up your knitting, please. Yeah. Now. Bitte, bitte. Isn't she wonderful? She sleeps so contentedly, just like a cow. Have you ever seen a cow? No, no. Have you ever seen a cow sleep?
No.
They stand on their feet, and they're sleeping like this.
Well, in Germany, it's a great form.
Chewing their...
You can be, you come older and older like a crow, but you learn always something more.
There you go. There you go. But I said you sleep like a cow.
Yes.
You sleep there looking like you're awake, but you're not, you know. Now, you may tell us that you are, but you're not. Now, what do I say to Ingeborg? Ingeborg is one of our spring chickens here. I say, Ingeborg?
I would like.
You are. I say, Ingeborg. Ingeborg, hush now. Ingeborg, if you are tired, lay down, take a nap. I said, everyone doesn't have that privilege, but you do. Because when you want to lay down and take a nap, your body is saying to you, it needs that rest. You understand?
Yeah.
And did I ever deny you that?
No.
Well, did you always take it when you wanted it? When
as
you
much
go?
As possible.
As much as possible. Well, that's good. But you're a little feisty today. I detect certain things, and I think that we should put them to rights. So we will do that. Now, what is our relationship with our body? What is our relationship with our mind? What is our relationship with us? It must be one of love, where I feed my body love. I huggle and snuggle my body. I put my arms around my body. I tell myself how much I love it. If I have a hurt, this idea of the kid running to his mother because he's got a hurt and having the mother kiss it and have it be all well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Now, what should the mother do? The mother's a jerk. The mother should say, son, here's how you do it. And she kisses her own wrist. She says, now, you kiss your wrist. And so he works on kissing his wrist. But then he forgets and he says, Mommy, I hurt. Kiss yourself. Kiss yourself. I can't reach my bottom. I fell on my bottom. Then kiss your finger and touch your bottom. Kiss yourself. Now, put your arms around you. But you see, the mother wouldn't have to explain that. All the mother would do would be to share with the kid what she does, how she snuggles herself, how she loves herself, how she feeds herself, only those things that are beautiful and good. And you know why she does that and how she does it? Because she calls everything beautiful and good. You see? Everything you eat. Sometimes kids don't like spinach because their daddy doesn't like spinach. And if you can just say, hey, this is a different spinach. It comes from the top of the mountain where there's no pollution, there's no problems in it. This spinach is totally different. This milk comes from the top of the mountain. The dairy from below delivers it up here. It comes from the top of the mountain. And it's true, it comes from the top of the mountain. We went to the store and got it, you know? And it is pure and beautiful. I work this with a lot of kids, and it is just pure dynamite. It works just like a charm. Now, how can this help your relationship with others and make your relationship with others be more stable? Well, I don't really like to tell you this, but this is the fact. The more you like yourself, the less others are in your world. And any being who is in your world already is madly in love with you. Madly, passionately, joyously saying, oh, you're wonderful, you're fabulous, you're great, you're most amazing. Remember? And when you do this, you don't look out there for the masses to come to you. You look for your creation to be in your world, but nobody else. And you walk down the street and you say, I'm blessing all these people, garbage. You're blessing yourself. You said, I am the pure white light of love. All my ways are peace and all my paths are pleasantness. I surround this car with my pure white light of love. All its ways are peace and all its paths are pleasantness. All my ways are peace and all my paths are pleasantness. Now, I surround everybody here with my pure white light of love and all your ways are peace and all your paths are pleasantness. That is a very watered down, expression or attitude, because you're not concentrating on all those people there. You're just making a blanket, you know. I treat for everyone on our prayer list, on our practitioner list, but I read the list thoroughly, carefully, and then I treat them and I treat them and I treat them. I read them thoroughly, Mark could not drive my GMC motorhome, which I bought in 1975, brand new, until he had read the manual thoroughly, and I tested him on it. And he read it thoroughly. He's very good. And then he drove the motorhome. He just got behind the wheel like Gregor does, and he never wants to get up. He's just so happy there and so contented. And, of course, I'd bring him tidbits to keep him contented, too. But read the instructions. You see, if we read the instructions on our relationship with the world, number one, what is the world out there? Sylvie, what's the world out there?
My mirror, my reflection.
Your creation, your mirror, your reflection. The world out there, you created every single experience that's in it. The nice stuff and the naughty stuff. You created everything. Now, if you don't like it, clean up your creativity. You know? Some people like to create negative things. Like at the lunch table, I think it was, we talked about, or was it breakfast, but we talked about such a variety of things on sex, you know. And a lot of it was quite negative. But yet all of it was positive, because all that it said was, what values have you grown up with? Those are the values that judge every instant of your life now. It's not that you're my values, not that you take my study, my way, my life. You take your own, the values you grew up with that brought you to this stage in life where you are still alive. And so some of the values must be pretty good, and some of the values perhaps are quite sick. But if the values are sick, then in that area you are very, very, very weak. And it pays for you to pay attention. What area are you weak in? What area are you noticing that you're not as happy as you could be? In the area of relations with others that are stable? Well, look to yourself first. Look to yourself first and see what makes a stable relationship for you. What makes a happy relationship for you? It's very important when my relationships with myself, when my relationship with myself is healthy, my relationship with others is stable. When my relationship with myself is healthy, then my relationship with others is stable. The reason is, others are your creation. But I was mentioning to you before that I was going to tell you something about the others. Whether you like it or not, and there's nothing you can do about it, whether you like it or not, there are no others. There are no others on the face of the earth. You may create what you call others or what you call other beings, but there is none. There's only you. You know that song goes, only me. So that's all that matters, is you. And you say, well, Herb, I would think that you meant all that matters was you. Well, yes, for me, that's true. But for you, all that matters is you. And know this, believe this, follow this, and enjoy this, and live the most happy relationship with yourself that could ever be imagined. You know, sometimes we inadvertently see somebody doing something, and they're caressing their body, and they're playing with their hair and their head and their genitals, and they're playing with their feet and their arms and their legs, and we think, oh dear, oh my, I'm snooty about it, you know. And they say, if you haven't tried it, don't knock it. And so then you start playing with yourself. It's not a matter of masturbation. It's not a matter of anything like that. It's just getting to know your body. Do little babies think of masturbation when they're playing with their bodies and getting to know their bodies? No, they don't even know what that word means. And they don't have a system that will pump through the evidence of it. So we judge them by our standards. And there's nothing wrong with children getting to know themselves. And we make their bodies off limits to themselves. We say, oh, don't touch yourself. Oh, don't do this. Oh, don't do that. And we make it so frightful that they don't get to know themselves. They don't get to love themselves. And then later, then we say, okay, now put your arms around yourself and hug yourself. But, Mommy, you said I shouldn't play with myself. But this is different. You're hugging yourself. You love. But, Mommy, that's what I used to do, too. When I was playing with myself, I was hugging myself, and you said, don't do that, that's naughty. And you see, we equate everything. on whatever standard of living we are at the moment. And we want to be real careful, because actually, this may come as a surprise to all of you, you're all very nice people. You're all very wonderful people, very beautiful people. And I love you all very, very much, whether you know it or not. Okay, now, let's put that cause in motion. When my relationships with myself, my relationship with myself is healthy, my relationship with others is stable. Now, I've ripped it apart, put it together and ripped it apart, put it together and ripped it apart. Now, where are you in consciousness? Are you recognizing you're number one and the only one? Are you recognizing that there are no others in the world? Are you recognizing that you're pretty wonderful? If you're doing that, go for it. If you're not, sorry. You missed the boat. You'll have to catch it on the next dimension. But why not work on it now and catch it right now on this dimension and enjoy. I love you very much, and I see you all revealed masters right now. I see you all fulfilling whatever your dream and desire is for you right now. And so it is.